Ever scrolled to the bottom of an article and found yourself sucked into the vortex of comments? You're not alone. The comments section, that often maligned territory beneath our digital content, represents a fascinating ecosystem that shapes how we perceive information, make decisions, and even view ourselves. In Reading the Comments, Joseph Riegel takes us on an illuminating journey through this overlooked dimension of internet culture. Why do some online communities thrive while others devolve into toxicity? What drives us to seek validation through likes and shares? The answers reveal profound insights about human psychology in the digital age. Don't read the comments has become common advice, yet we can't seem to help ourselves. Comments are simultaneously everywhere and invisible, shaping our experiences while we barely notice their influence. They're reactive, asynchronous communications that follow something else, appearing beneath videos, articles, and social media posts. What makes comment sections so problematic? It comes down to human cognitive limitations. Anthropologist Robin Dunbar discovered that our brains evolved primarily to track about 150 meaningful social relationships, what he calls Dunbar's number. When online communities grow beyond this threshold, quality often deteriorates as our capacity for meaningful discourse gets overwhelmed. In our consumer culture, comments often function as reviews guiding purchases. Louis C.K. captured this anxiety perfectly, obsessively researching the best product, only to feel disappointed when reality falls short. Psychologists call these people maximizers, who, despite making objectively better choices, often feel less satisfied. Star ratings represent expression compressed to its essence, a simple quality judgment. Facebook's like button compressed this even further, becoming one of the internet's most clicked features. However, these systems are increasingly compromised by manipulation. Computer scientists estimate about one-third of all consumer reviews may be fake. As Marilyn Strather noted, when a measure becomes a target, it ceases to be a good measure. Not all comments are reviews. Many function as improvement feedback. Fan fiction communities have developed sophisticated feedback cultures through beta reading, distinguishing between concrete, constructive criticism, commentary, reader response, and flaming, harmful comments. Research confirms what these communities intuitively know. Destructive criticism undermines confidence and performance, while novices respond better to positive feedback and experts to constructive criticism. Online anonymity creates distinct psychological effects. Plato's Ring of Gyges questioned whether invisibility corrupts the just, while modern research confirms people behave differently when unidentifiable. This manifests as internet balls, where normally reasonable people become aggressive when anonymous with an audience. While contextual factors influence trolling behavior, research shows a small percentage, 5.6%, actively enjoy it and score high on sadism measures. Gender dynamics significantly impact online harassment. Susan Herring's research reveals only about 5% of posters, mostly men, generate most adversarial rhetoric. These individuals prioritize freedom of expression over consequences, acting as self-appointed vigilantes on the virtual frontier. The PyCon dongle incident demonstrates how online comments can spiral out of control. After Adria Richards tweeted a photo of men making inappropriate jokes at a tech conference, she faced horrific harassment, including racist and sexist slurs, rape, and death threats. Media scholar Emma Jane characterizes such e-bile as featuring profanity, ad hominem attacks, stereotyping, and hyperbolic imagery of sexualized violence. Beyond informing or alienating us, comments actively shape our sense of self. While traditional theory suggests seeing oneself diminishes self-esteem, research shows viewing one's Facebook profile actually enhances it, especially when users can edit their presentation. The selfie phenomenon exemplifies this control over self-presentation, though people remain uncomfortable with unflattering photos posted by others. Some, like frequent social media user Triana Lavi, even pursue cosmetic surgery after becoming self-conscious about features in Facebook photos. I think social media has really changed so much about how we look at ourselves and judge ourselves. Facebook usage correlates with feelings of dissatisfaction and envy, the FOMO phenomenon, as users passively consume others' carefully curated lives. Research shows people typically overestimate others' happiness because negative emotions are hidden in social settings, creating a spiral of self-promotion and envy. Studies reveal a small but significant decline in mood following Facebook use. Society increasingly embraces quantification as a surrogate for quality assessment, transforming subjective experiences into measurable data points. This McDonaldization process has spread from fast food to healthcare, education, and personal relationships. Quality is notoriously difficult to evaluate, while computers excel at counting, leading to quantifiable measures for everything from hamburgers to physicians. Modern dating exemplifies our obsession with quantification. Dating apps have transformed romance into a numbers game, with algorithms matching users based on data points and swipe patterns. Even friendship has been quantified. Burger King's 2008 Whopper Sacrifice campaign offered a free sandwich to people who unfriended 10 Facebook connections, with 23,000 people participating before Facebook shut down the promotion. This metrics-driven approach to relationships reflects a broader cultural shift toward valuing what can be measured over what might be meaningful but resistant to quantification. We've created a world where your worth is increasingly determined by followers, likes, and engagement rates rather than the quality of your connections. Even Dave Weiner, who deployed the first blog comments in 1998, eventually disabled them on his own site. Clay Shirky observed, "Comment systems can be good, big, cheap. Pick two." This explains our constant platform migration as we seek what Regal calls intimate serendipity, that sweet spot of meaningful connection with unexpected people that vanishes as platforms grow. Manipulating online feedback isn't new. 18th-century botanist Linnaeus wrote anonymous reviews praising his own work as a masterpiece. Today's fake review economy ranges from overseas review sweatshops to sophisticated operations using unique accounts to avoid detection. Online anonymity fundamentally changes how we interact. Zimbardo's experiments showed hooded participants administered more shocks than those wearing name tags, while studies found anonymous trick-or-treating children cheated more frequently. The internet amplifies these effects by removing physical presence while providing an audience. Despite the maxim, never read the comments, online commentary remains both compelling and problematic. Reading comments offers insight into what people are thinking, making us confront the reality that we have met the commenter and he is us. As online discussion battles scammers and haters, commenting systems fortify against abuse, while new platforms emerge where people seek intimate serendipity, spaces for authentic expression without fear of attack. Ta-Nehisi Coates compares comment moderation to gardening. Once you take out the rubbish and clear away the weeds, flowers begin to grow. In this comment-saturated world, mindfulness becomes essential. Rather than sleepwalking through digital spaces, we must set intentions when going online. The comment section isn't inherently terrible. It's a mirror reflecting our collective humanity, with all its wisdom and flaws. The challenge isn't avoiding comments altogether, but engaging with them consciously, recognizing both their power to inform and potential to distort.